I'm telling you, this intro's sticking.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
I think it's gonna stay.
I was prepared after the second week when you did it again. I was prepared for it to be a long-term thing.
Well, welcome back to this week's edition of Racing Hotspot. My name's Devin Poslesny, joined by my co-host, Mr. Jordan Jenkins. Jordan, how are you?
I am great, Devin. It is a great day out. Wearing a almost went t-shirt and shorts today, but I'm wearing a hoodie and shorts instead. So
I was gonna say it's finally nice weather here in New England. Looking at 50 something degrees right now. You're in a t-shirt or a hoodie and shorts. I'm in long sleeve and pants. I think one of us misread the weather. I'll let the listeners figure out which one that was. But anyways, coming off a pretty busy weekend in the motorsports world as NASCAR's all three touring series were at Bristol. And then we had the F1 circus. I say circus apparently lightly. They're not a circus, but they were in Bahrain. And then we had IndyCar at Long Beach. And then Formula E, I know we don't really talk about them much, but they were racing in Miami, which was kind of cool, at Homestead Miami Speedway. So we're going to kind of touch on that. Kind of cool. Could just jump right into this here. I know we – actually, you know what? Before we jump into that, let's throw it over to Jordan for Short Track Saturday. What do you got?
We're starting with me?
Yeah, okay. I figured we'll start with you.
Because of Mother Nature, this week is kind of – got a lot going on. I'm going to be at a Thompson.
Did anything happen this past weekend?
No.
Oh, all right. Short Track Saturday's over.
Because Mother Nature is mute. Really being
being mean.
Yeah, she's been being mean on the weekends. I think it's rained here for like a week straight, honestly. Feels like it. But, the Northeast Classic got postponed to this weekend. But third time's a charm for the NASCAR Wheel Modified Tour. They race at Thompson Speedway this Wednesday. Just a couple days now. This is the second time. This is the third postponed date. From originally March 30th was supposed to be the day. Got rained out. Got moved to April 5th, the week after, and then got rained out again. So here we are, April 16th, and it's gonna be a race day. It's gonna be their first race of the Connecticut Challenge. Obviously, all three Thompson dates are with that. A very late day for a Wednesday, too. I mean, a lot of people complained about it. I don't really see anything wrong with it. It's a Wednesday, after all. But first practice for the Whelen Tour is 4:15 to 4:40. Final practice is from 4:45 to 5:15, so a quick five-minute intermission between practice sessions. Qualifying will be at 7 p.m., and the start of the Icebreaker 150, which would be 150 laps, will be at 8 p.m.
Wow. Prime time, right on flow.
Prime time, right on flow racing. The rest of that show will be on Racing America, which would be like Thompson Late Models, the Sunoco Modifieds, and SK Lights, I believe, are going to be racing. I don't have the updated entry list because I still have that one from the original date, but from my inside source, there's 31 Whelen teams, one of them being Luke Baldwin, who wasn't originally going to be at the postponed date because of the Smart Tour, but since on a Wednesday, he's going to be going back up to Thompson, this time driving for his dad, Tommy Baldwin. So that will be good. It'll be, as I mentioned, it'll be the Connecticut Challenge. There will be a little extra money on the line, too. $23,750 on the line for the championship purse for the Connecticut Challenge. And it'll mark the 40th anniversary, actually, of the Whelen Modified Tour at Thompson, which actually confused me at first because, I was like, the Whelen Modified Tour has been around a lot longer than that. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, for Thompson, makes sense.
Yep.
But marks their 40th anniversary of racing at Thompson and the 156th Whelen Modified Tour race at Thompson. It could be some history in the making, as the now four-time Wheeler Modified Tour champion, Justin Bonsignor, if he wins, it would be his 15th career win in the Wheeler Tour at Thompson, which would tie Mike Stefanik for the most all-time at the track in the series.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, that will be all eyes will be on Bonsignor and the rest of the field. Luckily, Mother Nature is actually going to cooperate. 2 days out, it's going to be a little chilly. It'll be 49 degrees, so a little colder, or actually 46 degrees. So it'll be a little cooler. Probably going to be a lot colder because it'll be 33 at nighttime, so it'll probably be around there. But, yeah, and then this weekend, as I mentioned, I'll be at the Northeast Classic because it got moved to this coming weekend after Mother Nature didn't want to be nice again. Unfortunately, it looks like Saturday is up in the air because, you know, it's a weekend and Mother Nature doesn't like racing. She's definitely not a race fan, I can tell you that. But practice day is Friday. Practice day looks fine. We'll at least get practice day. But I've looked, because obviously I keep looking now because, you know, why? Because it impacted everything but the first day of the icebreaker at this point. But I've had WMUR says 35% chance of rain. AccuWeather says 84% chance. And NOAA says, NOAA says 50%. So I don't know which one to look off of.
My experience is that NOAA is the most experienced, like the most accurate.
Okay, so 50% chance is coming.
That's,
but it says a high of 62. So like,
I say AccuWeather's not bad, but it's kind of one of those things where they're kind of like similar to the Weather Channel, where they have a lot of stations around, but like. Their AccuWeather might be reporting from Boston and trying to reach out to New Hampshire. You know what I mean? NOAA is pretty accurate.
Like, it just says
NOAA goes off the airports.
It says 50% chance of rain on Saturday, high of 62. So hopefully the rain don't come, because 60 degrees is gonna be really nice. Nothing Saturday though, so hopefully that happens. I think there's 42 ACT cars on the entry list now. For the Pro Late models, and then 16 as of right now for the Pro All-Star Series. I don't know how many Pro Trucks we have yet, or even Street Stocks, but Street Stocks, I'm sure there's going to be over 20. Street Stocks, I don't know if you've ever seen Street Stocks run loud in Devon, but Street Stocks are pretty cool. Pretty cool at Loudon.
Yeah, they are.
And the Sunoco Modifieds are actually taken off the schedule at New Hampshire Motor Speedway just because they're running on Wednesday, so kind of a quick turnaround to run a race Wednesday, practice Friday at a whole different track, and then race Saturday. So hopefully Mother Nature's going to be nice, because, you know, we need racing. It's not been a good start. But the Northeast Classic at New Hampshire Motor Speedway will be broadcast live on Racing America on Saturday. So nothing on the broadcast for Friday for practice day, but yeah, it might take a little bit because my service isn't the best right now, but I'm gonna try to maybe attempt to pull up the overall schedule for Loudon. But man, this has not been a good start. Everyone is just like, oh man, I mean the Wheel of Tour postponed twice, the Northeast Classic postponed. It's like, wow, we can't have anything nice.
I will say, I mean, it's, yeah, It thankfully for us with DPPG, we haven't had any outdoor games just yet. But yeah, it's similar boat here.
Practice day for Friday at New Hampshire Motor Speedway goes from 11:30 to 4:30. Pit gates open at 8, which means I'll be there at 8.
7:45, I'll give you that one.
7:45, okay, you're right. You're right. Then Saturday on race day, pit gates open at 7 a.m. Practice sessions are only one round. They go from 9:15 to 10:40. Obviously, that's rotating practice between all five divisions that are going to be there. And then the features will go Pro All-Star Series first. They'll go 50 laps. Pro Truck Challenge will go 20 laps. And then the American Canadian Tour will go 50 laps. The Tour Type Modified feature will go 50 laps. And I know there's a few names in that. Patrick Emmerling is actually running that race. I don't know who else, honestly. I haven't seen like any entry list. And the R&R Street Stocks will close out the day at we're going 25 laps. So general admission pricing is $35. So a pit pass for both days is $100, but luckily I get into the tracks for free. So
let's go.
But yeah, hopefully Mother Nature's actually nice this time. Because they don't have any giant equipment like, you know, like a normal NASCAR weekend there. So they won't have any air titans or anything. So it's gone just all like, bring all your regular cars out and try to drive the track. But no, hopefully it'll be fun. It'll be on Racing America pay-per-view.
Hold on. Loudon does have some track. Like, they have like a pickup truck with the jet dryer in the back of the pickup truck. Oh, but okay. not anything like when NASCAR shows up.
Right.
Because NASCAR will send support vehicles from like Pocono and Dover and other places like that. But
right. But yeah, hopefully it's going to be a fun week of racing. Wheel and Modified Tour I know is going to be a go at this point, but Northeast Classic, you know, as always, is going to be, oh, Mother Nature. If Mother Nature was a race fan, wouldn't it be as bad, you know? But clearly she's not.
Yeah, I mean, sunny and 75 during the week. Raining and snowing on the weekends.
Yep.
Perfect. No, I mean,
it just snowed here a couple days ago. Yeah. It all melted by now, but it was just like, wow.
That was fun. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. You guys will get going. You guys will get going. So, you'll get there eventually.
Yeah, hopefully.
Eventually. But, so, Formula, anything else on sports? Short track Saturday.
On sports?
Anything on sports? Just kidding.
Yeah, the Red Sox actually this past weekend lost to the worst team in baseball, but no. But
as a Yankee fan, that makes me happy.
It's okay. The Yankees lost their weekend series too, but
I didn't bring it up.
I guess it wasn't to the Chicago White Sox, but anyway, okay. That's it for sports, though. Short track Saturday, yes, because I go into next week and stuff, obviously next week.
Okay. So, Formula E, we're going to quickly touch on it just because I thought it was really cool. Formula E, obviously an electric open-wheel series sanctioned with FIA running around the world, kind of similar to Formula One, like worldwide circuit or schedule-wise. I mean, they ran in Miami this weekend, which I wasn't sure if this was like the circuit that Formula One runs on or what, but turned out it was the road course at Homestead Miami Speedway. Which was pretty cool. They, you know, I think they tweaked the course a little bit because there were some corners that were pretty tight. But I think overall it was a really fun event, really fun race. And it was kind of cool to see, you know, the Homestead Miami Speedway road course featured on a national broadcast and a national scale. Yeah, overall really cool event. Looking at Formula One, they raced in Bahrain this past weekend. Oscar Piastri with the win, George Russell second, Lando Norris third. One notable is Max Verstappen finishing sixth. So not 100% sure what happened there. One of the quotes I saw was that he said that everything just went wrong. So not sure if they missed the strategy or what happened, but, anyways, overall, it was a good, from what I understand, it was a good weekend in Bahrain, though, for Formula One. Looking ahead to IndyCar. IndyCar ran out in Long Beach, and they had a very, I don't want to say uneventful race, but, you know, they went green, and 90 laps later, Kyle Kirkwood got the win. So, I like Long Beach. It's a great course. What's it called? It's a street course.
Yeah, you know, I always call it a street course.
It is a street course, but it's a true street course is what I'm getting at. So it's a good track. I like it out there. I would love to get to visit it one day, but I do want to say, the beginning of the race, I know you had said you didn't get a chance to see it other than the last 10 laps. But the start of the race they came off the final hairpin corner, and they started doubling up, and they probably got like three rows side by side, and then they went green, and everybody else was single file. And I was kind of like, because the whole point of the side-by-side restarts or side-by-side starts, initial starts, is to have action to turn one. And they only had probably 10 cars side-by-side going to turn one. Everyone else was single file. So I don't know if that was something that maybe IndyCar saw and was like, ooh, we need to fix that. We need to change that. But it was definitely something that I was like, don't like that, you know, because I've seen IndyCar in the past where when you have an initial start or you have a restart and IndyCar doesn't like it, they would wave it off and re-rack them. So I don't know if that's what they were going for that. I don't know if they were just saying, you know what, just let them go. In the past, they've double filed up on the back straightaway and then went through the final couple corners and then were side by side all the way through. But like you said, it was just something I noticed that I was like, that's different. So, anyways. Overall, though, I mean, I think it was a good race out in Long Beach.
That's good.
Yeah. So, let's move to Thunder Valley, which, of course, is...
Well, actually, before we do, I don't know if you saw. After the Bristol Cup race, I actually watched the NHRA coverage from Las Vegas.
Oh, I did not catch that.
And congratulations to Tony Stewart, his first NHRA Top Fuel Dragster victory.
Woohoo!
So, and that was at the four-wide drag strip, so...
I'd say I am a smoke fan all the way.
He got the win, and obviously he was very emotional, as was his wife, Leah Pruitt. I believe they are married now. But, definitely an emotional moment for Stewart and his team. Congratulations to him, as he's now won in literally every race car he's been in. NHRA, SRX, IndyCar, NASCAR, Sprint Cars, anything he's stepped foot in, he's now one in, so.
It's awesome.
But yeah, congrats to him on his first NHRA Top Fuel Dragster victory out in Las Vegas.
That's awesome. Good for him.
Yeah, it also felt like a longer NHRA broadcast on FS1, too, than it usually is. I don't know.
I don't know.
But yeah, okay. Bristol, I just wanted to say that first.
No, you're good. So, looking ahead, looking back at Bristol, we had the trifecta.
The trifecta.
So, meaning you had the truck race on Friday, Xfinity Saturday, Cup Series Sunday. Truck race, from what I understand, was pretty quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Chandler Smith gets the win. Kyle Larson second, Corey Heim third. Larson going for the sweep this weekend and just came up one race short.
As he did.
At Homestead.
Yep.
Yep. Except Homestead was the Xfinity race that he was short on. But from what I understand, it was a pretty clean race, pretty good race. Jordan, any thoughts on the truck race?
No, I thought it was a fairly good race. It was definitely very quiet for trucks at Bristol, I think. But, good win for Chandler Smith. He's been strong in that truck, but some unfortunate luck so far. But now he's in the playoffs. So.
No, it's awesome. Bristol is such a really fun racetrack. Definitely a bucket list track for me.
It is for me, too. Yeah. I said that yesterday watching the Cup race. Yeah. Like, Bristol's a track I definitely want to go to.
I'd love to go. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a bucket list track. I want to go see it for sure. But it's like, it can go both ways. It could be a clean race or it could be a dumpster fire.
Yep.
And from what all three races, from what I've seen, it was a clean race. You know, everything was good. I mean, moving on to the Xfinity Series race on Saturday. Kyle
Larson, first.
Go ahead.
Cup Truck Series rookie Gio Ruggiero finished 10th.
Yep.
And I know it's kind of random. I just mentioned him, but he's from Seekonk, Mass.
Nice.
So, he's been very strong this year. Finished 2nd at Daytona, 11th in Atlanta, 15th at Vegas, 29th at Homestead, 12th at Martinsville, and 10th at Bristol. So, he's 13th in the the standing. So, right now, he's out of the playoff spot because Trucks only have 10 in the playoffs. He's 124 points out, but, you know, all he has to do is win or just keep running the way he is, and he could be good. Because right now, yeah, there's only three winners. Heim has won 3 times, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And, yeah, it's Daniel Hemric, Corey Heim. Corey Heim's actually won twice, and then Chandler Smith now, so. Because the other wins were by Kyle Larson and Kyle Busch, so. But okay, Xfinity Series race now.
No, I mean, excuse me. I mean, that's awesome. That's awesome for them, for him as a rookie. And you know, I think the truck series in general right now has been very, very good in being diversified as far as winners. You know, like, it's not being dominated by one driver, which is awesome. It's always great to see when you have a series like that.
Yeah, definitely.
So moving on here to the Xfinity Series, Kyle Larson led 277 of the 300 laps. he dominated the Xfinity race. Really good overall race. We did have a crazy accident. Excuse me, sorry. With, who was it? Was it Brendan Poole? Yeah, Sheldon Creed got loose off of turn 4, and Brendan Poole didn't clear him and wound up getting into the front corner of Creed's car, and it ripped the whole side of the car off, even removing the bolts for the axle.
Yeah, that was a hard hit for both of them.
That looked wild. I mean, and I know there was a lot of people on social media who was like, oh my gosh, then we need to fix that. We need to make this safer. I mean, first of all, the car did exactly what it's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because as those cars shredded each other, that's energy dissipating. The, you know, and the, if you look at the car, yeah, the foam is gone, but the I don't want to say the tub that the car, the roll cage was intact.
And I think what a lot of people forget is the Xfinity car body is not carbon fiber like it is the cup cars are.
Right.
So they're, it, what I'm, so the Xfinity cars will,
the sheet metal will shred a lot.
Yeah, they will. It will look a lot more, those cars look a lot more wrecked after hard hits. Like, unlike the, I mean, the Cup Series cars will look wrecked too, but
they hold the
Xfinity
their shape
cars will, like, as you saw with Brendan Poole and Sheldon Creed, like, a cup race to that, if those cars look that, they're not going to look like that.
Right.
But, yeah, hard hit for both of them. Brendan Poole had nowhere to go. Obviously, he was at the high side, and Creed was kind of just sitting there and couldn't get out of the way. But Sheldon Creed did forget to put his car in park. As he got out of the car, he just rolled down and hit the inside wall.
Adds insult to injury.
But Sheldon Creed just like, ah, whatever.
Yeah, another dent's not going to hurt it.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I mean, I think, yeah, I agree with you in the sense of the sheet metal is going to look, it's going to look worse than what a cup car would be. But like I said, to anybody out there saying, oh my goodness, we need to do this, this, and that. No. That's the way it's supposed to be. You know, it's the same thing with Formula One. You know, I know the jokes have been, you know, the joke is that, oh, F1 cars are so fragile. Well, they are, but they're designed to be because they're going so fast, because they have so much energy and G-forces with them that they're designed to break apart. You know, and the same thing with the cars. And I think, I know we've talked about this, and I'm not trying to, you know, get back on the soap opera, but it's something that NASCAR, I don't know if NASCAR fully put into account the difference between sheet metal and carbon fiber, because, you know, these cup cars, they're rigid. And we've talked about it with the bodies. We've talked about it with, you know, everything, like everything down to the frame. And I know that the carbon fiber isn't a huge contributing factor into that, because carbon fiber still wrinkles, it still crushes, it still moves, but it's not exactly tearing away the same way that like sheet metal would, you know. So that's something that, you know, it makes me wonder when it comes to that. But anyways, overall though, Xfinity race was good. Larson with the win, Quapel second, Allgaier third. And yeah, any other thoughts on the Xfinity series?
Junior Motorsports is like on fire right now. I mean, Quapel, Allgaier, Sammy Smith, second, third, fourth, and then Zelig was 12th. That's all four Junior Motorsports cars that were pretty much in the top 10, and they always qualify. I mean, look at, they all qualified in the top 10 for Bristol, but they're just on a roll right now. Like, they are the team to be right now.
That seems to be a consistent thing, though, with them for many years in Xfinity.
What's crazy with now is Quapel and Zilic are rookies in the Xfinity series. I mean, Quapel hasn't had the finishes he probably wants yet, but, I mean, because he finished 4th at Daytona, then 23rd, 23rd, 26th, 17th, 10th, 20th. But he's back-to-back top fives now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's really good for Quapel. And obviously, Zilic has that win at COTA. So, Junior Motorsports, I mean, I know they're always a tough team. But right now, especially with two rookies, all four cars are just, that team's doing something right.
Right, I mean, and like I said, I feel like them and, like, Junior Sports, them and JGR are always contenders in the Xfinity series. I mean, Haas Factory Racing was always something that was kind of there. But, like, I don't know. It's something that they always, like I said, they always seem to be a contender in the Xfinity series. Okay. So, cup race. We left Saturday after qualifying and stuff, looking at tires that are recording after 35 laps. Mind you, now let's back up to last year. This race was a tire strategy race because of the car, the tires cording and everything. So when we left the track on Saturday, seeing tires cording after, you know, 35 lap runs, everyone was like, uh-oh, are we going to have another repeat of last year? And I think that that's why NASCAR gave them an extra couple set of tires. I think the teams, had 10 sets of tires?
Yeah, 10 sets.
10 sets to deal with. I think that, you know, everybody was like, uh-oh. And then the weather changed.
Yep. Different weather.
Yep.
I think it was warmer sun yesterday than it was on Saturday, but they were all cautious. I mean, at the very cautious start to beginning of the race, obviously, because everyone was expecting last spring to be the same. But then when everyone was like, we're 40 laps in now, and there's no tire wear. Everyone started pushing. And now you can run like 125, 140 laps on these tires because they're running full stages without having to change tires.
Right. Exactly. Like, it was one of those things that was kind of like, huh. And I think that, you know, I think that that just kind of goes back to what we were talking about, or we've talked about a couple times, where everybody out there is like, tires, 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 tires. We need softer tires. We need this. We need that. But look at how much the racing, or the racing changed in 24 hours. You know, and I know I've said this a couple times, where how NASCAR or Goodyear's going to have a tire test in Loudoun, New Hampshire, probably later this month. One of the earliest times that I think they've had a tire test in Loudoun. And you know why? Because they're trying to replicate what it's going to be like in September.
The tire test.
Yeah.
Like, they did a test in April a couple years ago in Loudoun, but it wasn't a tire test. It was a short track package test.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, they're trying to replicate. They're trying to replicate what it's going to look like in April. So it's like how it's going to look like in September. So we're trying to figure it out. And I think that's something race fans need to keep in mind, is that you're going to have, you know, you're going to have this difference in weather, and it's going to throw things off. You know, the days of just putting tires on and going and running like you did back in the early, early days of NASCAR are beyond us. You know, Goodyear's trying to figure out the best combination to put out racing. You know, it's not, these tires that they're running is not what we have on our street cars.
Right.
So they might all look the same, but they're not. So it's, yeah. It's crazy. Anyways. So Bristol race on Sunday, dominated by Kyle Larson. He led 411 laps of the 500. Ryan Blaney was another leader in the race for 48 laps. So that's your two top leaders in the race. Larson for 411 and Blaney for 48. So Kyle Larson dominates. Three cautions total, two of them for stage breaks.
Woo.
It was, yeah.
Two straight Bristol races of Larson leading over 400 of the 500 laps.
Now, I want to ask you a question because they're related to the race but not necessarily on-track product. Why do you think that the grandstands were so empty yesterday?
Because everyone prioritized the Bristol night race from a fan, like the grandstand perspective. Because the Bristol night race is just obviously playoff race, and it's just Bristol night race is just, you know, it's one of those iconic ones.
It was interesting to see the photos.
Yes.
And it was, for me, it didn't make sense because last year's spring race was so crazy. Right? Like, if I'm a fan who lives close to Bristol Motor Speedway and I saw the crazy race last year, I'm buying a ticket. I might have been disappointed in the product, but like, it's interesting. Now, there was something floating around, and I think it might have just been fan-driven. I don't think there's actually any talks to it, but like, does SMI move this spring Bristol date to North Wilkesboro to give them a points race?
I don't know, because North Wilkesboro has a lot of issues. I don't know if I want a points race at North Wilkesboro right now, just because the All-Star games there have just been snoozers, I guess. Like last year, I mean, the only thing talking point from North Wilkesboro last year was the Stenhouse and Bush fight.
Hmm.
Other than that, I mean, it's really, I mean, it would be cool, obviously, because, I mean, North Wilkesboro has been getting a lot of ticket sales anyway, just because obviously NASCAR has been it's been rejuvenated. Yep. But like this All-Star Weekend has like the NASCAR Wheel Modified Tour, the Cars Tour, the Z-Max Cars Tour. Obviously, I think the Truck Series, I think, is going there too. And of course, the Cup Series. So, you know, you got like a. The All-Star Weekend at North Wilkesboro, I think, is just it's a spectacle right now. So, I mean, should I get a points race? Probably. But right now, with the short track package, I'm kind of scared for it to be. Because, you know, we always talk about the short tracks. I mean, they're always unknown. I mean, I know North Wilkesboro is like, what, a mile? So it's not really a short track, but obviously a race is like one. It's kind of like Loudoun.
Yeah.
Everyone calls it Loudoun a short track when it's really a mile. So will they get one eventually? I'm sure they will, but I'd want NASCAR to fix the short track package before they do.
Right.
Or do something like an option tire. Because I know they did at the All-Star Race last year, I believe, but I don't quite remember what the result of that was, honestly.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think facility-wise, North Wilkesboro is set up for it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, because there were talks, obviously, after Bowman Gray. Can they get a race? And it's like, Bowman Gray does not have a full, like, they cannot handle green flag pit stops. Right?
No.
Like, and what I mean by that is they could. Cars, their weekly series, cars will drive off during a green flag run. Mm-hmm. They'll go to the garage. But it's different for them because they'll go to the garage. They're not doing pit road speeds. They're not doing, like, they're driving to the garage. They're getting a tire change or something and either staying in the garage or driving back out on the track.
You're talking about the weekly series?
Yeah.
Well, weekly series are definitely doing pit road speed.
But if you go to a Hudson Speedway, they're going to drive off turn one, or Monadnock Speedway, they're going to drive off turn one. They're going to go to the garage. They're going to do whatever they need to do. And yeah, sure, you can't be flying through the garage, but it's not like they have timing lines in the pavement.
Right.
That's what I mean.
But that's not going to, you know, go full speed.
No, no.
They're not going to go race speed just to get be done.
But that's also an uncontrolled environment, whereas a pit road at Loudoun during NASCAR is a controlled environment.
Right.
Right? So, like, that's what I mean.
I mean, it is so, still like, controlled because, I mean, like,
you cannot have a race off pit road at Monadnock Speedway.
Right.
That's what I mean. Like, that's what I'm getting at when it comes to
control. Well, NASCAR, they still call it a race off pit road and it's controlled.
No, that's what I'm saying. You can't have a quote-unquote race off pit road at Monadnock Speedway because two drivers going for that timing line is a dangerous situation when there's old man so-and-so and his race hauler sitting right there with his pro truck.
Right, but I mean, like, at Star, I mean, like, it's the same thing, obviously. There's no timing lines, but it's still controlled. Like, if someone is repairing damage from a wreck or changing the tire, you know, there's still officials in the pits that are going to make sure they're not flying through the pits. Because especially the Star pits, I mean, it's...
Right.
You know, it's a lot of... It's close quarters, like any, like, short track is, but...
I get what you're saying, but I'm saying that, like, you couldn't have a green flag pit stop at Bowman Gray that everyone would be okay with, right? You can have a green flag pit stop, but somebody's going to complain that, you know, I didn't get back on the racetrack quick enough because so-and-so is backing his hauler out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or something like that. Whereas, like, with Wilkesboro, it is set up.
Like,
pit road set up. Everything's ready to go. So, like, my point is the argument of do we move Bristol from Bristol to North Wilkesboro, besides the racing on track for Wilkesboro, everything is set up for them to host a race.
Right.
Whereas, like, the conversation of can we give Bowman Gray a points race, it was like, we need a little bit more work there.
Yeah.
So
I don't know if I would ever want a point race at Bowman Gray.
I think having the...
For the Clash, it's fine, but point race, ooh. Because a point race, you're definitely going to get a lot of chaotic... Like, you're going to get Xfinity Martinsville type level. Because, obviously, you're going to... Bowman Gray, obviously, is rarely tough to pass, especially in the Cup cars, because, you know, they're so wide and Bowman Gray is so narrow. So you're definitely going to have a lot of bump and runs, and you bump and run someone there, you're going to probably pile up the whole field behind you. Just because you're gonna, everyone's going to stack up and everyone's going to be lifting. And
It pains me to say this, but NASCAR might – let me back up. NASCAR's looking for the entertainment to get in new fans. And we talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago when they left Martinsville. And NASCAR never wants to see a wreck fest. And NASCAR's never going to promote a wreck fest. But – they promoted Bowman Gray so much in the sense of this is the madhouse. You have crazy contact racing, blah, 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 blah. And then the Clash kind of lived up to it, but kind of didn't.
Yes.
You know, and you know what? Denny Hamlin and Chase Elliott, they raced each other so clean.
Yes.
And as a traditional race fan, I was like, let's go. Like, even if Hamlin won, as a Chase Elliott fan, if Hamlin won, I would have been like, you know what?
And everyone,
that's cool.
And everyone was expecting Bowman Gray Weekly Racing. And for those that don't know, it's...
But that's what I'm saying.
You have, like, 50 fights per race.
But that's an unofficial number, just for the record.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying is, like, you had me and you who was like, that was awesome racing.
Yeah.
But then the common person who is looking for that game seven crazy moments, like, looking at this going, this race stunk.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know. And it's the same thing with what you just said with Wilkesboro. Would Wilkesboro put on a better race than Bristol? I don't know. Would Bristol put on a better race than Wilkesboro? I don't know. Like, it's.
I've seen enough. All-Star Race, New Hampshire Motor Speedway.
But I don't know. It's interesting, and I think the All-Star Race at Bowman Gray would be fun, but I think there would have to be some inside industry training on that, meaning if SMI is going to give up the All-Star Race, SMI wants the championship race, which I'll let that lead into my next thing. The conversation of Homestead hosting the championship race next year in Las Vegas hosting the championship race in 2027 is becoming more and more real.
Yes.
So my question to you is, okay, Las Vegas hosts in 2027. Does that mean a NASCAR owned track gets the All-Star race?
Yes.
So do we put that at Bowman Gray?
No.
You know, or what do we do? Because not going to lie, besides Daytona, Talladega, and maybe Martinsville, I can't think of any NASCAR tracks that are, like, super exciting when it comes to All-Star racing.
Phoenix.
No, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Right?
So, like, I don't know. Maybe we move it to Bowman Gray and have a May race weekend.
Nashville. That's an SMI check. Never mind.
Yep. I figured you'd get
that. Chicago Street Race All-Star Race, question mark?
I think there's so much that goes into that that you can't.
I know it's an SMI track, but what about an Indianapolis Motor Speedway All-Star Race?
Indianapolis is not an SMI track.
Oh, you're right. I don't know. Every time I see a track that says Motor Speedway, I assume SMI. Even if I know it's not.
Indianapolis is one of the only tracks that's still, I want to say, privately owned.
Yeah,
or independently owned.
That makes sense. Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You know, because like Dover Motor Speedway, SMI. Atlanta Motor Speedway, SMI. New Hampshire Motor Speedway, SMI. Bristol Motor Speedway, SMI.
Indianapolis is the only motor speedway that isn't.
Charlotte Motor Speedway, SMI. Like, Indianapolis Motor Speedway, not SMI. Just kidding. Trick question.
Well, yeah, because whatever. That is owned by, well, now owned by Penske, but yeah. It was owned by one of the most prestigious racing families in the world. So
Penske?
Now it's owned. I'm saying it was.
I mean, Penske's still pretty.
Man, they are prestigious.
Yeah.
But anyways. All right, we're getting off track. Top three from Bristol. Kyle Larson, 411 laps led. Denny Hamlin second. And Ty Gibbs third.
The points battle is pretty close in the Cup Series. I'm looking at it right now, and the top eight are all separated by less than 100 points. And like Bubba Wallace is eighth, and he's 95 points behind the points leader Byron. I mean, I know 95 points seems like a lot, but Hamlin was like 60 points or 55 points behind Byron after Darlington. Hamlin's now 30 points behind. So it's just what I mean. I know it's he's not he closed in, but you know it's just going to show you how big points are.
Right.
Larson has two wins, and both of his wins are really dominating fashion, and he's fourth in points.
Yep.
Byron's first, Hamlin's second, Bell's third, Larson's fourth, Chase Elliott's fifth. Ryan Blaney, with all his unluckiness he's had, he's sixth. Reddick seventh, Bubba Wallace eighth, Logano ninth. Which is shocking. Bowman 10th. Logano being that is shocking because he only has one top 10. I think. Which came at Martinsville. I think Logano hasn't had... Hasn't had a strong year yet. Yeah, he said he has one top 10. Unless you want to count the duel and the clash. But those aren't point races anyway. No, duels you get points now, don't you? Doesn't the duel pay points? I don't know.
I don't remember.
Either way, Logano has 1 points race out, but after the 500, and it's Martinsville, and he finished eighth. So him being ninth in points is pretty shocking to me. Ryan Preece though, in the playoff spot, love to see it.
Love to see it.
Josh Berry is technically out of the playoffs. He's 17th in points, but he's in the playoffs because he has the win.
There we go.
Ryan Preece, I saw something on Twitter or X. Ryan Preece probably had the same amount of TV time as Kyle Larson did. And what's funny about that is Ryan Preece finished like 20-something. Let me look. Actually, Ryan Preece finished 20th. He got the free pass like five times or three times because three cautions. He got the free pass at all three of the cautions. And every time Larson was trying to lap someone, Ryan Preece was the one that was felt like he was battling lap after lap. So everyone's just like, wow, Ryan Preece is getting just as much TV time as Bell Larson. So even though it wasn't the best day for Preece, you know, still got a lot of sponsors got TV time.
There you go.
But A.J. Allmendinger got the Xfinity fastest lap. So we got the one playoff point.
All right.
So good for A.J. Allmendinger. That one playoff point, actually, right now, he actually is in the playoff spot right now. He's 16th. So go him.
That's awesome.
Martin Truex Jr.'s last in play at Uncup points, unfortunately.
Well, you know, retirement hits hard sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, any other thoughts on Bristol?
I don't think so.
All right. Yeah, I mean...
No cup racing this weekend.
No, so only...
Xfinity, ARCA, and...
Trucks.
Yeah. All at Rockingham. Yep. I was really thinking about YOLOing it and going to Rockingham, but no, not really. Maybe if it was a little later in the year, maybe, but.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, Rockingham truck race at 5 o'clock on Friday. Xfinity is at 4 o'clock Saturday. ARCA, I don't know what time they are, but I think they're on Saturday. Yeah, I would assume they're on Saturday because I don't think NASCAR's ever done a Friday doubleheader.
Yeah.
So they're probably noon, probably. It'll be cool to see Rockingham on back, though, on the schedule. I'll actually be able to watch it, too, because I should be back from Loudon by then. So I'll be able to watch him. So, but Cup Series is off for Easter, and then They go to Talladega. They go from Martinsville, Darlington, Bristol to Talladega.
That's a crazy, crazy, crazy swing.
Yes.
All right. Well, I guess that's going to do it for this week's show. Any other thoughts for you, from you in general?
Not really. I mean, I guess credit to Fox yesterday because Mike Joy had to do the best he can to make the race seem interesting. And it's not even because Larson won it. It just, I can't remember a time where someone would lead over 400 laps at Bristol. There's probably were cases like when Dale Earnhardt was running, like Dale Senior, Richard Petty, but
I was gonna say Kyle Busch when he did
even then, I don't even remember the race just being what's going on. Like you know, like you miss 10 lap, like you miss 200 laps, and you didn't miss anything. You know.
Yeah.
Usually it's like you miss 20 laps. It's like, oh, what happened?
Yeah. Right.
But I don't know. Bristol is weird because I don't think Bristol is part of the short track package. I don't think.
I don't think so.
That's my understanding. So it's kind of weird. I think it's just a next gen car.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to pass, and Bristol's you've never been a track where it's hard to pass. You know.
Right.
It would have been interesting though if Ryan Blaney got the caution he wanted when he was the only car in the lead lap because of the green flag cycle. He was literally the only one on the lead lap. Reddick was second and it said minus one lap. So it would have been interesting. I mean, everyone would have gone back on the lead lap anyway, but Blaney would have had the advantage because of the tires, right. Obviously. So that would have been interesting. But it didn't happen, so. Instead, there was like 9 cars that finished on the lead lap.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see what happens going forward. Like, as Jordan said, off weekend for the Cup Series. This weekend, Trucks, Xfinity, ARCA, all at Rockingham, which will be fun to watch. Yeah. So that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Anywho. All right. So thanks so much for tuning in. Appreciate Jordan jumping on, as always.
Oh, always.
Thanks for being here. And, yeah, that's going to do it. For Jordan, I'm Devin. Have a great night, everybody. So long.